something fear my father's wrath, but nothing. Always reserve my holy duty, what his rage can do on me. You must be gone, and I shall here abide the hourly shot of angry eyes. Not comforted to live, but that there is this jewel in the world that I may see again.
My queen, my mistress. Oh, lady, weep no more. Lest I give cause to be suspected of more tenderness than doth become a man. I will remain the loyalest husband that bid her plight troth. My residence in Rome at one Filario's, who to my father was a friend, to me known but by letter. Thither write, my queen. And with mine eyes I'll drink the words you send, though ink be made of gall.
Be brief, I pray you. If the king come, I shall incur I know not how much of his displeasure. Yet I'll move him to walk this way. I never do him wrong, but he does buy my injuries to be friends. Pays dear for my offenses.
Should we be taking leave as long a term as yet we have to live, for the loathness to depart would grow. Adieu.
Nay, stay a little. Were you but riding forth to air yourself, such parting were too petty. Look here, love. This diamond was my mother's. Take it, heart. But keep it till you woo another wife when Imogen is dead.
How another? You gentle gods, give me but this I have, and seal up my embracements from her next with bonds of death. Oh. Remain thou here while sense can keep it on. And sweetest, fairest, as I my poor self did exchange for you, to your so infinite loss, so in our trifles I still win of you. For my sake, wear this.
Oh,
it is a manacle of love. I'll place it upon this fairest prisoner.
Oh, the gods! When shall we see again?
Alack, the king!
Thou basest thing, avoid! Hence from my sight! If after this command thou fraught the court with thy unworthiness, thou diest! Away! Thou poison to my blood!
The gods protect you, and bless the good remainders of the court. I am gone.
There cannot be a pinch in death more sharp than this is.
Oh, disloyal thing that shouldst repair my youth. Thou heap'st a year's age on me.
I beseech you, sir, harm not yourself with your vexation. I am senseless of your wrath. A touch more rare subdues all pangs, all fears.
Past grace, obedience?
Past hope and in despair. That way past grace.
That mightst have had the sole son of my queen.
Oh, blessed that I might not. I chose an eagle and did avoid a puttock.
Thou took'st a beggar. Wouldst have made my throne a seat for baseness.
No, I rather added a luster to it.
Oh, thou vile one.
Sir, it is your fault that I have loved Posthumus. You bred him as my playfellow, and he is a man worth any woman. Overbuys me almost the sum he pays.
What, art thou mad?
Almost, sir. Heaven restore me. Would I were a kneecap's daughter and my Leonatus, our neighbor shepherd's son.
Thou foolish thing. They are again together. You have done not half to our command. Away with her and pan her up.
Beseech your patience. Peace, dear lady, daughter, peace. Sweet sovereign, leave us to ourselves and make yourself some comfort out of your best advice.
Nay, let her languish a drop of blood a day and being aged die of this folly.
You must give way. Here is your servant. How now, sir? What news?
My lord, your son drew on my master.
No harm, I trust, is done.
Well, there might have been, but that my master rather played than fought and had no help of anger. They were parted by gentlemen at hand.
I'm very glad of
it. Oh, your son's my father's friend. He takes his part to draw upon an exile. Oh, brave sir! I would they were in Afric both together, myself by with a needle, that I might prick the goer back. Why came you from your master?
On his command. He would not suffer me to bring him to the haven. Left these notes of what commands I should be subject to when pleased you to employ me.
This hath been your faithful servant. I dare lay mine honor he will remain so.
I humbly thank your highness.
Pray walk a while.
About some half hour hence, pray you speak with me. You shall at least go see my lord aboard. For this time, leave me.
Sir, I would advise you to suit the shirt. The violence of action hath made you reek as a sacrifice. Where air comes out, air comes in. There's none abroad so wholesome as that you vent.
If my shirt were bloody, then to shift it. Have I hurt him?
No, Wraith, not so much as his patient.
Hurt him? His body's a passable carcass if he be not hurt. It is a true fair for steel if he be not hurt.
So he was in debt him in the backside of the town.
The villain would not stand me.
Nobody fled forward still toward your face.
Stand you? You have land enough of your own, but he added to your having. Gave you some ground.
As many inches as you have oceans and puppies.
I would they had not come between us.
But I, till you admitted how long a fool you were upon the ground.
And that she should love this fellow and refuse me.
If it be a sin to make a true election, she's dead.
Sir, as I told you always, her beauty and her brain go not together. Yes. She's a good sign, but I've seen small reflection of her wit.
She shines not upon fools, as the reflection should hurt.
Come, out of my chamber. Would there have been some hurt done?
I wish not so. This has been the fall of an ass, which is no great hurt.
You'll go with us.
I'll attend your lordship.
Nay, come, let's go together.
Well, my lord.
Would thou grew'st under the shores of the haven and question'st every sail. If he should write and I not have it, 'twere a paper lost as offered mercy is. What was the last that he spake to thee?
It was his queen. His queen.
Then waved his handkerchief.
And kissed it, madam.
Oh, senseless linen, happier therein than I. And that was all?
No, madam. For so long as he could make me with his eye or ear distinguish him from others, he did keep the deck with glove or hat or handkerchief still waving as the fits and stirs of his mind could best express how slow his soul sailed on, how swift his ship.
Oh, thou shouldst have made him as little as a crow or less and left to after eye him.
Madam, so I did.
I would have broke mine eye strings, cracked them but to look upon him till the diminution of space had pointed him sharp as my needle. Nay, followed him till he had melted from the smallness of a gnat to air. And then have turned mine eye and wept. Oh, but good Bassanio, when shall we hear from him?
Be assured, madam, with his next voyage.
I did not take my leave of him, but had most pretty things to say. Ere I could tell him how I would think on him at certain hours, such thoughts and such, or I could make him swear the she's of Italy should not betray mine interest and his honor, or have charged him at the fixed hour of morn, at noon, at midnight, to encounter me with orisons, for then I am in heaven for him. Or ere I could give him that parting kiss which I had set betwixt two charming words, comes in my father, and like the tyrannous breathing of the north shakes all our buds from growing.
The queen, madam, desires your highness' company.
Those things I bid you do get them dispatched. I will attend the queen.
Madam, I shall.
Believe it, sir, I've seen him in Britain. He was then of a crescent note, expected to prove so worthy as since he had been allowed the name of. But I could then have looked on him without the help of admiration. Though the catalogue of his endowments had been tabled by his side, and I to peruse him by item.
You speak of him when he was less furnished than he now is, with that which makes him both without and within.
I've seen him in France. We had very many there could be all the son with as firm eyes as he.
This matter of marrying his king's daughter, wherein he must be weighed rather by her value than his own, words him, I doubt, not a great deal from the matter.
And then his banishment.
Aye, and the approbation of those that weep this lamentable divorce under her colours, are wonderfully to extend him, be but to fortify her judgment, which else an easy battery might lay flat for taking a beggar without less quality. But how comes it is to sojourn with you? How creeps acquaintance?
His father and I were soldiers together, to whom I have been often bound for no less than my life. Here comes the Briton. Let him be so entertained amongst you as suits with gentlemen of your knowing to a stranger of his quality. I beseech you all, be better known to this gentleman, whom I commend to you as a noble friend of mine. How worthy he is, I will leave to appear hereafter, rather than story him in his own hearing.
Sir, we have known together in Orléans.
Since when I have been indebted to you for courtesies, which I will be ever to pay and yet pay still.
Oh, sir, you outrage my poor kindness. Oh, no. I was glad I did atone my countrymen and you. It had been pity you should have been put together with so mortal a purpose as then each bore, upon importance of so slight and trivial a nature.
By your pardon, sir, I was then a young traveller, rather shunned to go even with what I heard, than in my every action to be guided by others' experiences. But upon my mended judgment, if I offend not to say it is mended, my quarrel was not altogether slight.
Faith, yes, to be put to the arbitrament of swords? and by such too, that would...